You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Arizona Diamondbacks. I am Allison Fritter from MLB.com, and I am joined for our weekly chat by Steve Gilbert, who covers the Diamondbacks for our wonderful website. And Steve, there is so much to talk about. It seems that the Diamondbacks have cornered the international market, at least for this week. So they get a very, very highly touted right-handed prospect, Yoan Lopez, and they signed him to not only a very large bonus, but one that actually doubles because of the tax penalties when you go over the limit. So let's get to that in a minute, but just tell me about this kid and what he can contribute on the field in the next couple of years.
Well, he's a young right-hander who throws hard. Dave Stewart had taken a look at him and really liked his mound presence obviously his stuff, but also the way his mound presence was and his kind of his character and makeup. So they felt like it was worth the investment. As you pointed out, it's not just the $8 million signing bonus, but the penalty that they have to pay for going over their allotment means that they have to pay an $8 million penalty. So it's actually $16 million to sign him. Stewart also, they can't sign an international player for more than $300,000 over the next 2 years as a result of this signing. So, but they felt like this guy was a unique talent. They feel like, in a sense, it gives them a second number one pick in the draft this year by getting him. And, I talked to Stewart yesterday, and he was saying that he thinks that they're going to give him a shot to compete for a spot in the rotation out of spring training. Now, a number of people seem to think that, it could take him a little while in the minor leagues to get acclimated. But Stewart was impressed enough to say that, no, they're going to give him a look during spring training. And if he shows enough that he would make the rotation, but if not, probably start the year down in Double A.
Is that a lot to be saying at this point? I guess you hear that a lot from general managers just going into spring training. They're like, yeah, this kid is going to have every chance to make the team and blah, blah, blah. And you hear it a lot. And, of course, then the majority of them don't. And then they slowly work their way up. But is that kind of saying a lot for somebody as young and possibly unpolished?
Yeah, you would think so. And I think you also look at the Diamondbacks' rotation and see that they don't have a lot of locks in that rotation as of right now. But it certainly seems like it would take a pitcher a little time to acclimate over here. But again, they're going to go into spring training with an open mind, so we'll have to see how that plays out.
So there seems I love Dave Stewart just from a media standpoint because his quotes are just so delicious and fantastic and leave so much speculation for conversation. But he's just like, yeah, I'm not really too worried about the payroll. And it's just kind of like, yeah, that'll work itself out. I'm not really thinking about that a whole lot, which sounds a little odd to me. But, the payroll is now it's over $100 million. Are there limitations here? Are they going to have to cut some or what's going on there?
I would expect that they're going to try to reduce that a little bit, which is why I'm kind of surprised when I see their name thrown out there as far as being interested in free agent pitcher James Shields. So, I think that they would like to get that payroll down a little bit. They're counting, the bonus that they had to give Lopez as part of that money. But I think that there are probably a couple of things maybe they could do. They would probably have to eat some money to move some money. But it'll be interesting, this last few weeks before spring training, which sometimes can be quiet, certainly might not have to be quiet for the Diamondbacks if they decide that they do need to move some payroll.
Yeah, I find the James Shields saga pretty interesting because, of course, the asking price for him was something that nobody was going to pay. And now that number has to be coming down a lot. So I guess the amount of teams that are still interested, you'd almost have to be interested in James Shields thinking that the price could even go down a little further. But it is kind of hard to imagine that there would be room on this team to sign him. But you keep seeing the Diamondbacks' name come up.
Yeah, it's one of those things where when you hear that a team is in on a player, you kind of wonder what exactly does that mean? Are they telling the agent, if things kind of fall through with other people and the price comes down, then we're interested? Does that mean that they're in on a player? So I don't know, and maybe they'll find a way to make it work. Maybe they really are, you know, in seriously on him. But it just seems at this point to be a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah, especially since sometimes it's the agents that they're throwing the names of teams around to try to generate some interest in the media, to try to create some leverage for the player. And quite often those teams are, at best, lukewarm on a player.
Exactly. So, I mean, certainly with the Diamondbacks be interested in James Shields, absolutely. But I just can't see them, you know, going over $100 million to sign him. Or even at this point, I'm not even sure where they have room for him in this year's payroll.
So I need to I don't want to seem like I'm picking on the Diamondbacks, but this catching situation is just continues to intrigue me like no other. So the latest that came out is that they don't really think they're going to be pursuing a catcher. Dave Stewart believes that Peter O'Brien will be ready sooner than later. He played in Double A in 2014. So what is your reaction to that?
You know, I still find it hard to believe that they're not going to find a catcher here before the start of the season. Maybe Dave is thinking that between now and the start of spring training, he's not going to pursue a catcher. That maybe they're banking on the fact that once spring training starts and roster starts shaping up, that some teams will have an excess of catchers and maybe the price on catching will go down a little bit. But otherwise, I mean, they've got Tuffy Goswich. They've got Peter O'Brien, who you mentioned, who is, you know, they're still a work in progress defensively. And the Rule 5 kid out of the Midwest League that they drafted from Tampa Bay in the Rule 5 draft. So, you know, not a ton of catching options for them right now. I find it hard to believe that they won't go get another catcher here before opening day.
There's another thing that we talked about during the winter meetings when this little tidbit kind of came out, but with Yasmani Tomas, they want to try him out at third base. So now we're getting a little bit closer to spring training. And do you see that as being one of the more compelling storylines at spring training? Because he is an outfielder, and I don't know if I've ever heard any reaction from him as far as how he's embracing that. But that's a big difference, that's going from the outfield to third base. Do you think that's going to be, you know, one of the things that we're going to have to keep our eye on at spring training?
I definitely think that you're right about that. I think that's something that you're going to want to keep your eye on because of the way it sets up the rest of the team. If he's able to play third base, then that opens up left field for, you know, Enciarte or Peralta or some combination of the two. If he can't play third and they got to put him in the outfield, it just it crowds the outfield a little bit more and maybe leaves a little bit of a hole at third base. So definitely that how he ends, where he ends up, and if he's able to play third, is going to be a big storyline during spring training.
So one of my favorite things to read from you is your time at Diamondbacks Fantasy Camp. I know you participated in it at least once. But I love this story about this 80-year-old man who, his first camp was 10 years ago when he was a young and spry 70-year-old. And now he still plays softball like three times a week. I mean, that's unbelievable. How did he keep up with everything? I mean, does he look a lot younger than 80 years old?
You know, he doesn't look young, but he certainly acts young, and he bounces around this camp that's going on this week. It's amazing. And when he was 70, he was the only guy in camp that never spent any time in a trainer's room because during fantasy camp, as you can well imagine, the most popular spot is the trainer's room, and that's certainly the most busy spot. It kind of always reminds me of the Department of Motor Vehicles when you go to get your license and you got to take a number because there's so many people in line. But he's 80, and he was explaining to me that he used to play more than two or three times a week. But he said when I was younger, like in my 70s, they'd ask me to sub for other softball teams a lot more often than they do now. So, but I like that
Wow.
When I was younger, you know, in my 70s. But he's still bouncing around at age 80, and it's really, you know, when you're around people like that who just love to play and just love to be around the game, it really is kind of inspiring in a lot of ways.
Has there ever been, like, a massively, like, disastrous injury that's happened at one of these camps? Like, something, like, terrible that's not really just, you know, sort of a fun thing to make fun of? Has there ever been anything really bad that's happened?
No. A couple of years ago, there was a gentleman that was had been to a number of camps. He was an older gentleman. And was having some health problems and was trying to make it to that camp and was not going to actually participate in camp, but he did pass away on the first night of camp after we had our annual gathering. Nothing too serious as far as injuries go. I don't think guys run fast enough to have serious collisions or anything of that nature.
And there's some pretty big names that participate, kind of on the former player standpoint, right? I mean, this is something that attracts a lot of fun guys that people want to be around.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The coaches seem to have as much fun as the players at these things. I mean, you get Luis Gonzalez and Mark Grace, and a lot of guys that played on our 0-1 World Series team. And it's fun to listen to them tell stories, and they seem to really enjoy the fact that these guys are just out here to play baseball and love baseball, and no one's trying to prove anything, or you know, no one believes that they're trying out for anything. So they enjoy being around the guys and that kind of spirit. So yeah, it does. It brings in some pretty big names. Matt Williams used to do it before he took over the Nationals. He was one of the ones that was always out here. Jay Bell, guys like that, former Diamondbacks. So it's a good time for those guys.
That's awesome. All right. Thank you so much, Steve. We'll be talking to you soon. Thanks.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.